Good morning, church, or I should say, good afternoon. This is a late recording. Apparently, God's house has been under construction for the last 2 days. And so every room has been torn up from the floor up, literally holes everywhere in the building because of the plumbing, which we are doing, we had to do. And so we had a plumbing company out of LA come, and they spent the night yesterday, worked all day yesterday night till midnight Friday. And then yesterday they left about around 5 or 6. So we weren't able to record the service or use a sanctuary, literally. But we got hot water, so that's the good news. Bad news is that I'm recording this message a little late, but that's okay. We'll look at it this morning as an evening service. So why don't we pray and let's just seek the Lord in these times that we're going through. And I do want to let everybody know that we are hosting the service outside next Sunday in the parking lot. So please spread it around that service will be meeting to Sunday morning in the parking lot, same time, 9:30. We'll have all the chairs out there. If you can bring, we'll have some canopies, but if you can bring your umbrella, please bring it. We'll have the chairs. Bring water or your coffee. You're allowed to drink coffee out there. So the service will be, again, next Sunday, August 2nd, I believe, in the parking lot. So let's pray. Father God, we do thank you at this point, Lord. Please, Lord, we seek you and we seek answers. We seek providence, your will to be done, Lord, that you would show us clearly, Father, what you desire of us in these times, Lord. There's just so many uncertain things happening and confusion in this world and among the body of Christ. And we just want, Father, you to intervene and you to step in. And I think of last week how the service, I did a service about praying because we were shut down. The church needs to pray. And we looked at where you tell us to pray. And it didn't even show up. It didn't even record. And when everything was recording, I thought it was recording, but it didn't even come up. There was no service. But this time, Lord, we pray that you would work everything out and you would bless us. And Lord, I also want to pray for the offering, Lord, that those who continue to support the ministry, Lord, which is really needed, Lord, and that's a prayer that you would continue to provide, Lord, in these times, and that we could pay our bills and pay the staff and continue to do your work in these times. And so bless us this morning as we continue to look at Jesus and his ministry in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 27, as we look at his words to his people, to his disciples. So bless us this morning, Lord. Bless us, and we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so if you have your Bibles, which I'm sure you do, or you're just listening, we are going to pick up in Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Remember, Jesus was on the mountain. He picked his disciples, came down. There was a multitude of people, many other disciples there, and other people who weren't, but they were there, and he started to teach them. But here in 27, let's pick up there. It says this: "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. And to him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. And give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, and do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise, which actually verse 31 is really the golden rule. We hear that a lot, the golden rule. Well, 31 says, just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But I think what's important here that we need to keep in mind is who Jesus is talking to here in these passages. Now remember in verse 20, it tells us that when he lifted up his eyes towards his disciples, he was looking towards them, he said to his disciples, "Blessed are you, poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." So Jesus was speaking to his disciples in here in chapter 6, verse 20. And then here in verse 27, look at it, he says, "But I say to you who hear, to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you." So we see Jesus speaking to those who would hear. He says that in verse 27. And because he said to those who would hear, meant that he knew that not everyone would listen, even if they were his disciples. And that's pretty much just like today. There are many who will not hear, and there is also many Christians who won't listen because they don't like what they are hearing. But that's true about human nature. That's in our human nature. If we don't like what we are hearing, we won't listen or accept what we are hearing. And so Jesus goes from preaching about how they are living in society on how they should live in society. And now Jesus is sharing and he's touching on some very touchy principles. He's about to teach on something that they have never heard of, and it was literally going to be hard to do. And these principles that they are going about to hear, they would not even dare try to attempt, let alone live, because they were just unheard of. And Jesus knew that many of them would shut their ears towards what he was about to say. So he warned them and he encouraged them to guard against shutting their ears or closing their eyes or hardening their hearts to what he was about to say. And he gives them five specific principles or behaviors. And I want you to write these down because this is for his disciples. This is for us. And look at verse 27, because the first principle that Jesus gives here in verse 27, listen to what he says. He says, "But I say to you who hear," are you hearing me at this point? He says, "Love your enemies." What? Jesus? What? What do you love your enemies? I mean, he says here, love your enemies. We as believers are to love everyone, even our enemies. We're talking about agape love. We're talking about godly love. And we're not talking about worldly love. You can't love your enemies with worldly love. Only God's love can help you do that. And even then, sometimes I have to ask the Lord to love them for me because there are some people who just are very hard to love. And I know I have to love them. I don't have to like them, but I have to love them. And sometimes I pray to the Lord, "Father, just love them for me. Please help me by loving them for me." But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, Peter said that to honor all people and to love the brotherhood and to fear God. So we are called to respect and to honor everyone. And you have to realize that everyone, I'm talking about everyone who breathes, has one thing in common about themselves. And that is, every one of us, we have a soul that needs to be reached for God. Everyone is born a natural sinner. We all are born sinners with this sinful, selfish, fleshly nature. We all are born that way. Paul, he clarified that in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. He says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." And then David, he said it in Psalms 51, 5. He said, "Behold, I was born or brought forth in iniquity, And in sin, my mother conceived me. And that was David. And then Paul goes back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, he said this. He says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world." See, we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But guys, that was once. We once were like that. Now, I think you guys, we have to remember, we weren't born Christians, right? Would you agree? You weren't born a Christian. You might have been raised up as a Christian, but even then, unless you are born again by the Spirit of God, you'll never see the kingdom of God, because Jesus tells us that in John 3:3. He told Nicodemus that. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So what everyone has in common is that everyone needs salvation through Jesus Christ, because he's the only way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to get to heaven. And now everyone will see the Father. Everyone will get and stand before God, but not everyone will get into the land of no mores. Now, I call it the land of no mores because Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 and 4 gives us the description of the lands of no more. John said this. He said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" Praise God. That's called the land of no mores. So now here Jesus, he gives us five specific principles or behaviors that we should live by. And the first principle, again, is found in verse 27, where he says, "Love your enemies." That's the first principle that we have to live by. Now, again, I will be the first to admit that loving everyone is a very hard thing to do, especially when it comes to your enemies, because the natural behavior is to react with hatred, get revenge, to strike back. But to love your enemies is not natural. To love your enemies is not the natural thing to do. But remember, people, we're not natural. We're supernatural. We have the very one who's telling us to love them in us, and he equips us to love them. And we see that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. John said this, "For we love him," why? "Because he first loved us." So when you have godly, agape love for them, that's when the Lord takes over for you. And that's when he makes it easier for us to love them, because of what John tells us here in 1 John 4, 19. We love him because he first loved us. I can remember a testimony time back when my son, my oldest son, was only 5, 6, or 7 around then. And we had this little Sentra, and it was me, my wife, and my son. He was in the back seat, and my daughters weren't even born. And we drove through Roberto's, and we were going to get some dinner. And there's these two young adults behind us in the car, and they were throwing things on the car, in the back of my car, and I can see them in the mirror, and they're laughing. And every time I moved up, they would pull up close to the car, and I mean, I was getting stirred up. There was no godly love there. And I'm talking, this is when I was a Christian and seeking the Lord and serving God. But the love wasn't there for them. And I saw them as my enemies. I had a hard time with young adults and youth back then. And they kept doing this. So when I pulled up, I was praying underneath my breath, telling the Lord, please hurry. I need to get out of here because I'm starting to feel anger. I'm starting to do what is natural. I'm starting to think, okay, revenge. And, you know, hey, do unto them what they're doing unto me. And this is the way I was thinking. And I'm talking as a believer. And I pulled up and they gave me my food. And as I looked in the mirror, all of a sudden I saw them throwing some rag or something on my car, and it fell on my car and it hit on the trunk of my car. So I just drove up, I drove off, and I stopped maybe about two car lengths. They pulled up to the window. I put it in reverse and I stepped on it, and I just went, and I pulled up right beside the passenger window. And when I looked at them, and they kind of were flinching, like, oh no, and they put their hands to their face and they kind of leaned towards the left there. And I said, I know what I wanted to say, guys. I wanted to say some hateful, not loving things to them. But the minute I opened my mouth, because of the love of God in me, the Holy Spirit intervened. The Holy Spirit took over. And when I pointed my finger, the pointing finger at them, I said, God loves you. They looked at me, and the guy in the passenger side, he looked at me. He said, "Oh, yeah, we know that. In fact, we were just coming back from Bible study." And I said, "Well, you better look up, because Jesus is coming back." And then I drove off. See, that's what godly love does for us. That's when the Lord takes over for us, and He makes it easier for us to love them. Is when what we want to love them is not natural. The natural thing is to hate and to fight back and to get revenge. But we're not natural. We're supernatural. We got godly love in us. We got the King of Kings, the love of God in us. And it takes over and it helps us to love those who need it the most. So the first principle is love your enemies. Now, the second principle, write this down. The second principle is that it tells us, do good. Do good to them which hate you. So not only do you have to love them, but when you love them, and by loving them with godly love, this will cause you to do good to them. Can you imagine what kind of impact you would have on those who hate you just by loving and doing good to them? When Jesus said, and you got to remember, when Jesus said, do good, it goes beyond words. It's not just words. It means actually doing practical things for the person who hates you. Testimony time. My neighbor built a house next door to me. He was outside, and I went over to greet him to the neighborhood. I went in and introduced myself to him, and I went up. I said, how you doing? I'm Steve. I'm your neighbor, and I just want to welcome you to the neighborhood. And he looked down at me, looked me up and down. He looked and says, what are you going to do about those trees in your yard? And, you know, they're a fire hazard. And, I mean, he just chewed me up left and right. And I was looking, again, I'm a pastor, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, what? Here I'm greeting him into the neighborhood. I'm his neighbor, and I'm showing, you know, I'm welcoming him, and he's biting my head off. And he said, did you know that the fire department, that's a fire hazard, those trees, and you can get in trouble? I said, oh, yeah, you know what? My brother-in-law, he's a captain in the fire department. And then I walked off, and I was really mad. I came home, told Carmen what had happened, and I just avoided this man. Whenever I saw him, I avoided him. One day, I was weed whacking my yard, my front yard, and I heard the Lord speak to me. He said, go cut that man's yard. Our homes are on half an acre, so we're talking a half an acre of weeds in his backyard, probably knee deep. And the Lord said, go weed eat his backyard. And I was saying, nope, that ain't me. He ain't talking to me. And I kept working, and again, I heard it again. Go cut the weeds in his backyard. So I'd like, oh, okay, Lord. So I went in his backyard, didn't even knock on the door. I just went back there, and I started to weed whack his yard. And as I was halfway done, I noticed I turned, and they were watching me from the back door, the both of them. And so I stopped, and I looked at him, and his wife came over, and he says, oh, we really thought that you were the neighbor's gardener. And she realized that I was the actual neighbor. And I said, you know, I was weeding in my yard, and the Lord spoke to me and told me to come over here and to weed eat your backyard. And she started crying. She had tears, and she says, I really want to thank you for doing that because my husband has cancer. And she says, we really appreciate that. And so I continue, and I finish the yard, and that in itself, showing that practical love of doing good to my neighbor who hated me, it changed his heart. It impacted him in a way that he saw that, and it goes beyond words, and in a way which he couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand why I would do this, but he became my friend, and we became neighbors, normal neighbors. And all of a sudden, his wife, they even made us a bunch of Greek pastries and brought them over. And so again, you got to remember, back in Jesus' time, these words where Jesus said, love your enemies and do good to them. If you were walking in Jesus' time and you were preaching that, you know, that would land you in a very bad position, or put you in a very bad position, or maybe even death. Because back then, the Jews were in a slave people. They were conquered and hated by the oppression of the Romans. And so, and Jesus knew this, and yet Jesus was telling them to do good and to love them. And when you do good and you to them, and you to those who actually hate you, it reaches out to them in ways that they aren't expecting it, or they can't even understand, but it will have some kind of impact on them. And it also is going to have an impact on you as well. I was impacted by that. My life changed because you come to realize that they need to be reached for God just as much you need it to be. So love them and do good. And if you first love your enemies, and then if you do good to them, that's going to lead up to the third principle. Write this down. Look at verse 28. He says, and bless those who curse you. So the third principle is what? Bless people. Bless them who curse you. In fact, you know, just when they're cursing you, what you need to do is you just need to throw a little holy water on them and watch them roll around on the floor there. You know, just watch them roll back and forth. Now, you don't want to do that because they might beat you up. So don't do that. But, you know, throw a little blessing on them. So you better keep a lot of blessings in your pockets, because there are a lot of people who do a lot of cursing, and there's a lot of people who curse at you. And many times we see them just cursing other people as well, and not just at you. So when someone cusses you out as a believer, Jesus tells us to bless them. Bless the curser. The one who's cursing at you, or maybe he's not even cursing at you, but he's cursing at somebody else. You know what? Don't curse back at them. We're called to speak soft words of love, of blessings. The word, the words that you share that are a blessing and love and encouragement. Those words just might bring this reconciliation of friendship. You never know. You never know. You just might win them over for the Lord. And like this, my neighbor, just by sharing that love and doing good to him and not fighting fire with fire, I won him over. We became friends. The Lord brought this reconciliation of friendship. Now, Solomon said in Proverbs 15, he said that a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. And the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pour forth foolishness. So loving them brings on doing good to them, and that brings on blessing them, which leads to the fourth principle. Write this down, verse 28. So after you bless them, he says, pray for those who spitefully use you. Pray for others. Pray for those who despitefully use you. So Jesus is talking about those who not only speak despitefully towards you, but those who despitefully use you as well. Pray for those who attempt to not only shame you, but to dishonor you and to disgrace you, but also those who try to hurt you as well. Those who want to mistreat you. Those who want to abuse you and to persecute you. And how are we going to do that? I mean, how do you do that? Well, Jesus said, pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray for God to forgive them as he forgave you. Pray for peace between you and them. Pray that their eyes will be open to their true condition. Pray that they will be converted and corrected. Because that's what the Father does, right? And that's why Jesus came. He came for these very reasons. And also, pray for yourself. Very important. Cover yourself in prayer. That those who persecute you will see your example and will benefit from it. And that you won't become what they are. Bitter and angry and revengeful and hateful and speaking hateful words. Pray. And then the fifth principle, look at verse 29. Jesus says, and to him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. Jesus says, offer the other cheek as well. Wow. That in itself is hard to do as well. And especially because the word cheek here in the Greek, it really means the jaw or the jawbone. And it refers to getting a strong blow, a strong punch. And we're not talking just a slap on the face. You know what really cracks me up is, I don't know if you see that one sport. It's a slapping sport, I guess. I don't know what they call it. But you got these two guys, big guys. And we're talking hands that like Andre the Giant. And they look like they're going to arm wrestle. But what they do is they take turns and they stand there with their hands behind their back. And each person gets to slap the other person in the face. And, you know, they'll get through maybe two or three slaps before somebody is knocked out. And I'm thinking, why would anybody do that? I mean, what kind of person wants to be in a contest of getting slapped or slapping somebody else? Excuse me. But again, what Jesus is talking about, he's talking about a punch. He's not talking about a slap on the face. And he's also, what also comes with this turn the other cheek is he not only is it's a strong blow, but we're talking physical injury. And if anyone can relate to turning the other cheek, wasn't it Jesus Christ who did, right? Would you agree? I mean, if anybody can relate to turning the other cheek, because that's what he did. And not only did he say that, as a Christian, we're not to strike back when we are, especially when we are defending the faith. But Jesus can say this because he lived it. He was an example of turning the other cheek. So as a believer, we're not to strike back. Don't retaliate against those who throw angry insults or bodily threats or injury towards you. When we are suffering for the gospel's sake, when we are suffering for Christ's sake, you know, and for just our own personal testimony for Christ, you don't want to ever give Jesus a bad name. You don't want to ever give God a bad name or your testimony a bad name. Jesus, he gives us the example to follow after. You just have to trust in the Heavenly Father just like he did. But when it comes to someone threatening me for no reason but to rob, to steal, or to kill, then you know what? That's when I become the Hulk. That's when I start to turn all green and I start to shake and I start to get bloated and I really don't have a neck. And I start to bring down fire and brimstone on that person. Because, you know, I don't think the Lord wants us to. I think the Lord wants us to protect ourselves and our families against evil that is out there. I don't think the Lord wants us to sit back and watch evil conquer us and hurt us for no reason. But when it comes to your faith, when it comes to the gospel, when you're representing Christ, yeah, God says, turn the other cheek. Now, how do you do that? Well, when I went for the first time I ever went out street witnessing with Pastor Joe Castro, he went out. He kept telling me come out, and I went with him. And I went for a couple times, and then I had another guy come out. He says, "Hey, I don't know how to do that." I said, "Come on out. We'll watch him." And so we were standing there, and we heard some man screaming, some man yelling, some man cussing, and we looked, and the brother that was with me said, "Hey, what do we do when somebody gets violent with us?" And I said, "I don't know." But then we heard this man getting all violent, and I looked and I saw Brother Joe. I said, "Hey, come here, we're gonna find out right now. Take a look over there." And we were watching Brother Joe, and this man was in his face and he was cussing him out, screaming. And I thought, okay, let's see what he's gonna do here. Well, Brother Joe Castro, he looked at him and he just turned around and he walked away. And I looked at that brother, I said, "There you go. That's exactly what we do. You just turn around and you walk away." Because why? We're representing Jesus Christ. We're representing the gospel and salvation. But when it comes from someone just threatening me, I can't turn the other cheek. I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to protect my children, my grandchildren, my wife. I'll protect the stranger from pure evil that's out there, from those who come to rob, steal, and kill. And so, but again, when it comes to the gospel, Jesus said, turn the other cheek, set the example. And that leads into the sixth principle. Look at this, the sixth principle, verse 29. First, he says, if somebody strikes you, the fifth principle, if somebody strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. The sixth principle, it says, and from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Don't hold back, Jesus said. Him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Now, you got to remember, back then, the Jews, they wore both an inner and an outer garment. So their outer garment, if their outer garment was taken, Jesus said, if their inner garment was taken, Jesus said, why don't you offer your other garment as well? Now, in Exodus chapter 22, the law, the Mosaic law, it said that if you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering. It is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear him, for I am gracious. So again, the Jewish law allow the inner garment to be taken as a what? As a debt, as a payment, or as a pledge, but never the outer garment. And that's because most men, you know, they might have wore several undergarments that they can, you know, give, but he only wears one outer garment. But giving one's cloak, it's not an easy thing to do. Because that puts you, it puts you in a position of not being able to defend yourself or stand up for yourself or dispute in the taking of your property. So you're put in a position where you learn to what? To forgive. And you learn to give more to that person who takes from you. Now, nobody has ever said, "Hey, give me your garments." I hope they never do, because I don't want to be caught with no garments. I mean, I don't think I would ever ask anybody, give me your undergarments, maybe your outer garments, but not your undergarments. But this, again, testimony, story time. There was 3 o'clock in the morning in front of my house. I was always awakened from all these aluminum cans and bottles falling in my driveway and making a lot of noise. And I'd look out my window and I see this man running with my 33-gallon trash bags of recyclables, running throwing them in a brand new caravan and driving off. This went on for a while, and I was getting very upset. I felt that I was taken advantage of and violated. Even though they were just cans, the fact that they went in my yard and they stole them and just did that, and I think, okay, what's next? They'll go in my backyard and steal my dog or come in my house and steal other things. And so one night I said, you know what? I'm gonna catch them, because of the it was always at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the last night that they came and he was running with these bags, I had the window open. I yelled, "I'm gonna get you!" And I yelled it real loud. And it kind of echoed in the 3 o'clock in the morning. It's quiet, so it was loud. And they drove off. So the next day, I said, I had a caravan. I pulled it up to my driveway, and at 2 in the morning, I got out. I got up. I went in my car. I laid back. I had my bat. And I said, I'm going to wait for him to come. When he comes out, I'm going to play a little baseball. And so I laid down in my caravan. I put the seat all the way back, and I'm laying there in my caravan, my van, at around 2 in the morning. And so I decided I'll listen to a little bit of radio. I turned the radio on, and it was on K-Wave, and I was listening to a pastor talk, and he was talking about this very, very portion of scripture about Jesus: love your enemies and love those who spitefully use you and do good to those who curse you. And I was so convicted because I had this revenge. And so what I did is I got up, I got out, I went into my house, I went to my computer, and I put in 70 fonts, bold letters, and I put the scripture. Jesus said, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. And I went down and I got the two biggest large black trash bags full of 2-liter bottles, and I taped the scripture on the bags. I went down to the bottom of my driveway and I put the bags there, and I went in and went to bed. And did you know that those bags were out there for a whole week? In fact, my neighbor came and says, "Hey, what's the story of this bag here? You got these bags here," and Jesus talking about, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. And so I started to share what happened. But I don't know, they never took the bags, and I never saw them again. So I'm thinking, maybe they were Christians. I don't know. They came up, maybe they read the bag and read what it said and were convicted and left. So they never showed up, so I just took the bags and I put them back in my yard. But again, I was just doing what Jesus wanted me to do. And instead of retaliating, I shared the scriptures, and that worked. So when it comes down to it, is when you are seeking to live these 6 principles that I just shared with you, you are seeking to live to the fullest of Christ. It's all done for Christ's sake. And that causes you to reach out to a lost world that is caught up and consumed with disputes and needs and bitterness, confusion, a lot of unrest and uncertainty, a lot of fearfulness. And when we draw near to God, we can enjoy the peace which only God can bring to us when the time calls for it. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, Lord. We are so grateful. We are so blessed that we can see others the way that you see us. And Lord, we want to be able to follow these 5 principles, these 5 behaviors. We want to learn how to love our enemies, Lord. We want to learn how to do good to them, Father, and to show them how good you are to us. We want to be able to love them and show them you. We want to be able to bless those who curse us. We want to be able to pray for those who spitefully use us, Lord. And if somebody strikes us on one cheek, we want to be able to offer the other, Lord. And we know, Father, and if they want to take our cloak. We want to be able to give him our tunic as well. But Lord, we know that this is only going to come if we love with agape love. Teach us how to love with agape love. Godly love, the same love that you have for man. Lord, we want to have it for men as well. So bless us, Lord, and let us hold to these six principles. Let us hold on because you did. And we need to love them because, God, you loved us first before we loved you. So if we love them first, then they'll come to learn to love us. So bless us, Lord, and we do give you all the glory and all the honor. And Lord, if anybody out there don't know you, may they come to know you through your love personally, Lord. Speak to them in their dreams. Speak to them through circumstances, through principles of life. And may they accept you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. And may they love you as you, because you love them first. And we thank you, Father, and we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. God bless you, and I hope to see you hear the great news that's going to be happening next week as we host church in the parking lot. So spread it out and let everybody know. Next Sunday, 9:30, church will be in the parking lot. God bless you, and Jesus, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.